the two creators, or two of them anyway, for fantasy's sake.
Welcome to For Fantasy's Sake, a weekly fantasy football presentation brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill and The Corner Tap. I'm DJ Jarvis, joined today by Mr. Nick Brinks. You'd think I'd be fresh and have the ability to open the show, but it's been a couple of weeks since we've had a crew here, so I'm stumbling a little bit. How are you doing today, Nick?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Yeah, you know, as they say, it's been a year.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you make it to midnight last night?
I did. We played some games. We're at my wife's family's house, hence the wife's childhood bedroom background. We played games last night, and we finished up Train Dominoes at like 2 a.m.
Wow. I think we were in bed. Might have been 10 or so. Was watching a little bit of the football game, and Ohio State had a pretty commanding lead, so I went to sleep.
I was going to say, if you went to bed at 10, you missed the best part.
I did. I woke up. Neighbors thought midnight was perfect time to let off a firework, which I guess it's New Year's Eve. I'm not going to be an old man, but woke up, saw a tweet from Adam Schefter, said, speaking of ball drop, and so Ohio State missed that game-winning field goal. So,
and it was so bad. Like, you had to think it got tipped, but I don't think it did. I think it was just that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And with today being new, what? Go ahead.
Poor guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what he's going to be known for that now.
Yeah, absolutely. With today being New Year's Day, you had a very great suggestion headed into the show. We decided, let's talk some fantasy football related New Year's resolutions. And Nick, since it was your idea, I'll let you go first. Give me a resolution and then I'll go with my first one.
All right. Well, we'll get into this a little bit later because we're going to talk about some yearly awards and in the fantasy world. And so some of the, some of the resolutions might coincide with some of the picks there. But I think after this season, personally, one of my New Year's resolutions will be to avoid Alvin Kamara like the plague. And that's even before any legal troubles that he runs into next year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Flip one. Right there.
I tried my best to stay away from him. There were some spots. I think I did get him in one league. I think there was one spot where he just kept falling to the draft board. And you're like, okay, well, somebody's got to take him. And he had a couple of weeks where he wasn't so bad, and I don't know if it was the offense, Taysom Hill, what was going on there, but yeah, that's a solid New Year's resolution. Mine also kind of coincides with our awards, and it's not going to surprise anybody being me. My New Year's resolution is going to be I'm going to draft Travis Kelce anywhere I can get him. I don't care if that's 1-1 in the Scott Fishbowl. I'm taking Travis Kelce anywhere. This guy, in a year where he could just prove that he's not only the greatest tight end to play today, but maybe even the greatest tight end ever, he's exceeded even my wildest expectations. And I might be the biggest Travis Kelce fan in the world that doesn't come from his family. So that's one of my New Year's resolutions. Anywhere I can get Travis Kelce. I am in one league where you have to take shots as a punishment. And one of the punishments is drafting a player from your favorite team. He was the third pick of the third round. I said, this might be a reach. I'm playing in the championship game because I drafted Travis Kelce in the third round. It helped that I drafted Christian McCaffrey in the first, but I'm drafting Travis Kelce next year. That's a New Year's resolution of mine.
Yeah, the Kelce thing, I got to speaking of Kamara as well, I have Kelce and Kamara in a league, and I got bounced out of the semifinal last week. So I saw both ends of those resolutions in real time.
Speaking of getting bounced, I know you have a story of a championship that you're in. Let's do a little – let's take a break from the resolutions. Let's do a little how did you do this year. So total leagues, amount of playoff appearances, amount of championships you're playing in this week.
All right, cool. So, I'm in three leagues. Our free kind of staff league. Got to the semifinal there, but did not make it to the championship. And then in my two money leagues that I'm the commissioner for and run, I'm in a championship, and I got bounced out of the semifinal last week, so I'm playing for third. I was going up. I went into the playoffs in the one league as the four seed that I'm playing for third in, lost to the one seed last week. If I had some lineup changes, I could have advanced by like two or three points, but last Thursday really did me in because I had Zonovan Knight in that Jets game against the Jags. And I also had Zay Jones, and they combined for like 3 points.
Yeah.
That put me behind the eight ball from the start. And the two guys that I considered starting over them were Tyler Allgeier. I don't even know if it's all guys, whatever it is. And
nobody watches Falcons games enough to hear them say his name.
Yeah. And DJ Shark. So those are the two. If I would have started them like I considered, now I would, you know, it would have taken a lot for me to talk myself into that. I knew going in that Zay Jones against the Jets defense, probably a bad recipe, but I'm like, dude's got a really high ceiling right now. I'm going to take my chances because I was projected to lose. I was hoping for a little bit of a miracle on Thursday already. It didn't happen, but yeah, I lost that by about 20. So I'm playing for third. And then in my championship league, I eked out a 2-point win in my semifinal. I overcame an almost Monday night miracle from my opponent who had Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen, and they needed like 40 points on Monday night, and they got 38.
So Keenan Allen maybe stepping out of bounds really saved you there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, if that was a touchdown, I'm 100% in two third-place games. But in that league, that's the league where I have Jalen Hurts and Derrick Henry, who have been reliable all year. But last week, I went all in on my free agent acquisition budget. I went out for Gardner Minshew. And I felt good because my opponent had like 40% of his budget left. And I had about 80%. So I did like 41% to make sure that he could not get him. So I spent almost my entire budget on Minshew. Good thing I did, because he got me a couple more points than I needed. And I looked at the rest of the free agent quarterbacks, and I thought, yeah, any other quarterback, unless I picked up Sam Darnold, which why would I have done that? I would not have won. So Gardner Minshew, he saved me last week. And then this week, no Derrick Henry. I haven't even looked yet to see if Jalen Hurts is close to playing or not. I have to do a little research before then, before noon, before those games start. Otherwise, I'll roll out Minshew again this week. And then with Henry out, I started Hassan Haskins on Thursday night because I was like, well, somebody's going to have to get the ball in that game. They got a third string quarterback. He got me like 6 or 7 points, which honestly, I'll take it. I was going up against Dak and Zeke, and they only combined for like 24. And I thought I was going to get smoked because with no Tony Pollard, I thought Zeke was just going to put up like 25 points. Dak threw like 8 interceptions. So I'm feeling okay with what I got from my opponent that night, that I didn't feel bad about Haskins. So the projections actually got a little closer going into this weekend. But yeah, we're Going to be coming down to the wire today. I'm projected to lose in the championship, which at this point I don't have my quarterback or my first round draft pick that I've had all season. So it, you know, I'm content to finish second if I have to, but hopefully I get some Sunday or Monday miracles this week.
Absolutely.
I How about you?
Are you a big projections guy?
Three leagues, three top four finishes, one championship potentially. I can't complain one bit about the season.
So I played an 11 this year. They just kind of kept piling up.
That happens.
Made the playoffs in 9. One of them was kind of a best ball all year. We did a draft just before the season started where you could only pick players who went to certain colleges. I was one of the two teams who got the independent at-large Notre Dame conference. Didn't get Josh Allen and Travis Kelce. So I didn't make the playoffs in that one. The other one, it was I was purposely losing. It's a contract league, and my team wasn't good enough to win the championship, so I thought I'd rebuild. So made the playoffs in 9 of the 11. I'm in the championship in 6 of the 9. One of them doesn't have the championship till next year or next week. My two quarterbacks on that roster were Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa. So I'm starting somebody this week, not Trevor Lawrence is who I've got this week. So last week I got bounced in my keeper league and I got bounced in the Scott Fish Bowl, but I did finish 88th of 3000 in the Scott Fish Bowl. So I'll pat myself on the back for that one. So 6 championships, hoping to go home. A couple are throwaway leagues. One's a league, couple leagues we probably won't play next year, but you know, still 6 of 11 is not too bad. Finishing top 2, and
that's pretty darn good.
9 of 11 of playoffs, not bad. And finished 88th in one and top 4 in the other. So my next New Year's resolution, I have an obsession with these guys. I'm going to break it in 2023. I'm not going to draft Kenny Galladay and Allen Robinson.
I think Allen Robinson is a name that we will hear later in the show.
I hear that that's a possibility. Do you have any more New Year's resolutions?
I've always been kind of a, you know, draft a running back in the first round. That's kind of been my mantra. If I can get two running backs in the first two rounds, that's usually been my strategy. But I think going forward, I need to get away from that a little bit because you've got some super studs at receiver that I kind of ignore.
And Travis Kelce.
Yeah. Now, I got Kelce this year in a league. I'm trying to think who my first receiver off the board in any of my leagues was. It might have been Tyreek Hill down around 20. But if I'm in that, you know, 4 to 8 range, my resolution is to take the receiver if I have to. Don't reach for that, like, 9th guy that's a running back on the board just because he's a running back. Just because this year you saw guys like Breece Hall get drafted super low and they were lighting it up. Injuries, you know, injuries are just a thing.
Kind of like a zero RB without being zero RB.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to, that'll be my resolution, not to, cause that's kind of why I went Alvin Kamara. Cause he was drafting around, I don't know, 15 to 18 at the time. And then a couple days before we drafted, I guess there must've been some legal news that nothing's going to happen this year. So he started to climb back up and he's there around 10. So I'm like, oh, Alvin Kamara, that's a pretty good running back. I've had success with him before. I better take him when I could have taken, you know, some of those receivers that are right there around 11, 12, 13. I think I would have felt better if I had one of them and did not have Alvin Kamara this year. But yeah, for me, if there's a receiver there, I'm not going to reach for a running back. I need to get away from that strategy, I think.
Speaking of running backs.
Although it did well. I guess it did well for me this year. I'm in 3 Final Fours.
Right. I think the story of this here is for you, Nick, is next year you need to be in more leagues.
I don't know. I don't know about that. I think I did good this year because I'm usually in 4 or 5. I cut back on 1 this year. And I mean, my success rate went up. So yeah, I guess sure. I was able to focus a little more. And 2 for 2 in money leagues. That's the main thing.
That is the main thing. I won't say this as much as a New Year's resolution as an observation, but maybe we'll target running backs on contract years more often next year. Here's my list of guys I looked at this year. Josh Jacobs.
Boom.
RB3. Saquon Barkley.
Boom.
RB5. Miles Sanders. RB13. Jamal Williams. RB17. 14 tutters. And then you keep going down a little bit. Jerick McKinnon, RB25, 700 all-purpose yards, 7 tutters.
For McKinnon, he's going to be a league winner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got him off waivers. If you've been starting him in the playoffs, you're riding high in a championship today, most likely.
And then Deontay Foreman, RB37, you know, didn't become a starting running back till halfway through the year. 811 yards, 5 tutters. Obviously, things are going to happen, contract extensions in the offseason, options that have to be picked up. But guys who are going into their contract year in 2023, Derrick Henry, Austin Eckler, Cordarrelle Patterson, DeAndre Swift, Jonathan Taylor, Cam Akers, J.K. Dobbins, Joe Mixon, A.J. Dillon, and this guy will be playing somewhere else next year, I assume, but he'll be on a contract year as of right now, is Antonio Gibson. So
that's a pretty good list. Got some first rounders in there. You got some sprinkled down a bit.
You got to think, you know, I named 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys in the top 25 at running back this year that were on contracts, and all of those guys have a potential to do that. I mean, maybe not Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, I was going to say, he'd be the one that I'd make. Yeah. There's not a lot of tread left on those tires. Yeah. I can imagine.
He'd be an outlier there. But still, I mean, that's a pretty big list of guys who are going to be in contract years that we might want to take a look at some point in draft. I mean, I think Josh Jacobs had something to prove, especially with the Raiders not picking up that option. And he's definitely going to be somewhere else next year.
Mr. Baggy Sleeves.
Yeah. All right, let's go to commercial. We get back, we're going to talk about the 4 Fantasy Sake QC Fantasy Football Awards. So get ready. Oh, I just closed out of my document. I got to find the commercials. I forget where they're at.
This episode is brought to you by Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill in Moline and Davenport. Chase away your Sunday scaries at Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill this season. Located in the Belgium neighborhood of 7th Street in Moline, Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill is home to some of the Quad City's best food and drink specials. On Sunday, there's no better place to be. Clint's is serving up 75-cent wings and $4 Bloody Marys all day. And is your favorite team playing in those out-of-market games? Well, you'll never miss a second of the action on one of their 10 screens with NFL Sunday Ticket. And after you've had your wing and bloody fix, finish off your football watching experience with one of their famous Quad City style pot pizzas. And folks, they know pizza. They've been spinning QC style pies for the last 22 years. So make Clint's part of your Sunday football routine. Clint's Draft House Pizza and Grill, 7th Street in Moline. And also, Clint is now serving up their famous pizza and fried chicken on the Iowa side of the river as well. Clint's Pizza House and Chicken opens up daily at 4 p.m. so everyone in the Quad Cities can enjoy their QC-style pizza and Henny Penny fried chicken. That's Clint Pizza House and Chicken, 7th Street in Moline and 1601 West 3rd Street in Davenport. Today's episode is brought to you by Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar in Rock Island. It's the place to be every Sunday this football season. Barbecue Chris will be in the house every week smoking the place up with his amazing menu or mouth-watering barbecues. Cavies will have every game on inside and outside their numerous TV screens. Plus, you can play their adult video games, and they have the loosest slots around. Check out Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar, 1228 30th Street in Rock Island.
All right, let's talk a little awards. We're going to start at the top here with some of the more unanimous awards. So our top wide receiver, we had 10 quote unquote panelists, some friends of mine, other people who have been on our shows and everything vote. Our top wide receiver, obviously Justin Jefferson, definitely deserved here for him. Heck of a season, made some big plays and big games as well, both on paper. We'll talk a little bit more about Jefferson going forward here. And then our top tight end, also unanimous, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, so. I'm looking at the list here. Jefferson had 10 votes, and then somebody put slash Hill. So they had Tyreek as maybe a close second. But yeah, Justin, yeah, easy number one. And Kelce, no competition whatsoever. I don't think you can make an argument for anybody else in either of those two positions, especially tight end. The way the position was this year, it was a joke every week.
It was crazy. I read a stat last night. I know that Mark Andrews outscored Kelce by like 25 points last year. If you put the last two seasons combined, Kelce is almost 100 points over the next closest tight end. That's how dominant he's been this year. So everything else kind of had a little bit of conversation here. So Nick, I'm gonna introduce it. I'm going to ask you why you voted for the guy you voted. I'll tell a little bit about why I voted for my guy. Our next category is QB bust. You voted for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think, going into a new, brand new city, new contract, head coach that with Aaron Rodgers had success. And I think we have found that it was not from the coaching. I think a lot of people expected more out of Russell Wilson. Nobody was drafting him, first few rounds expecting that, but you expected at least bare minimum what he was doing in Seattle. Nobody predicted the drop off that he would have this year. So of our 10 votes, over half of them.
Don't spoil that yet.
I'm not going to name any names.
Don't spoil who won.
No. Oh, okay. I got you.
I want to talk about my guy. So
I'll leave it there. I picked Russell Wilson.
Maybe I'm a little unfair because he was hurt a lot of the year. I went Kyler Murray. We and I think of the 10 people who voted, I think that obviously, especially as we get down closer in this list, a lot of people voted for guys that maybe they were bit by. Because we all have our biases, both when guys are good and guys are bad. So I voted for Kyler. Again, missed a lot of times, but he wasn't that impressive when he was playing. And we put a lot of stock in this guy. I mean, he was a top five quarterback in drafts. So I think we all kind of expected him to do what Jalen Hurts has done this year. So
yeah, especially with his leg capability.
Yeah.
The fact that he's not, I don't know if he was top 10 or right around top 10 before the injury or not, but I'm seeing him down around 17 right now. He might have been in the 10-11 ballpark, but yeah, for what you expected and after what he did last year, you did not expect such a regression. I like that one too.
And as Nick alluded to, our top QB bust for this year is going to be Russell Wilson. He received 7 of the 10 votes. So who were the other votes? Obviously,
the others were Brady and Herbert. And I had Brady in a league this year. As a Dolphins fan, I hated Brady for years, So I've always avoided him. I've never wanted to have to root for him in fantasy. I got him this year, and I haven't started him since like a couple weeks in. I picked up Fields about halfway through, right before he put up 40-plus back-to-back weeks. That felt like the most genius decision I've made in my life from a fantasy perspective. But yeah, I saw Herbert on the list too. And I was like, that's good. That's a good one because before the season, at least looking at odds and things, he was projected, or at least in Vegas, he was predicted to be the quarterback to throw the most touchdowns this year. Has not come close to that. Not even a top 10 fantasy quarterback right now. I see he's 11th on ESPN. Right behind Jared Goff and Daniel Jones, Kirk Cousins and Geno Smith. Who predicted that?
Right.
But yeah, the fact that other guys stepped up this year, and someone like Herbert, who would have been probably a top five quarterback off the board behind, you know, maybe Patrick, Lamar, Allen. And I think even Hurts probably was ahead of Herbert, or maybe close to him, without going back and looking at my notes. But I can dig that Herbert's on that list for being a bust this year too.
This one was also a pretty big gap in between what we're looking at here. RB bust. We both voted for the same guy here. I'll let you, maybe I just hate guys who get hurt. I'll let you talk a little bit about Jonathan Taylor, who we both voted for.
Even before his injury, he was very disappointing just because that Colts team was just so dysfunctional this year. I remember 2 weeks into the season, and the Colts had lost two games that before the season you would have thought, okay, last year Carson Wentz was the missing piece, or, you know, he was the broken link in that team. Defense was great. Running game was great. Plug in Matt Ryan, give him some new scenery. They're going to be just fine this year. They're going to be fun to watch. And they come out, they just completely lay an egg those first couple weeks. He's not doing anything, especially, I mean, for Taylor at this point, early in the season, if you had got him, you know, second, third, fourth round, okay. But when you're the first, when you're kind of the consensus first round, you know, number one pick, you have a high expectation of you. And well before the injuries popped up, he was not meeting those expectations. That offensive line, normally great, was just not good this year, just bad. And
don't forget, my team lost to them, so be nice.
They got bailed out by some dumb calls on that game-winning drive.
Oh, so that being said, I agree, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
Our panelists agreed. He got 5 of the 10 votes. Chase Edmonds got the other two. What I was getting ready to say was they put out a list of what fan base tweets the most about bad refereeing. It's the Chiefs fans. I think it comes from two Chris Jones calls. The one where he gets the unsportsmanlike conduct for talking trash to Matt Ryan, and the other one when he got a roughing the passer while being in possession of the ball against Oakland or against Vegas, whatever.
Yeah, I've got a buddy that's a Chiefs fan, and on Sunday, if the Chiefs are playing, there's at least probably, I put the over-under of complaining about the refs at about 3.5 messages per game.
I'm sure Joe would probably disagree. He's got a lot of the fixes in text messages from me.
Especially when Carl Cheffers is reffing.
Yeah, especially when Carl Cheffers is reffing. So good thing Joe's not here today, because he would probably pull out the receipts, because he gets a lot of the fixes in texts. Wide receiver bust. This one was very spread out. We had one guy who got more than one vote. You voted for Mike Evans.
And that's because I have him and I've had to start him every week. And when I get 5 or 6 points most weeks from what you're expecting when you draft him in the first few rounds, huge disappointment for me. Somebody voted for Brady as the biggest bust fantasy quarterback this year, and it kind of starts there. That offense, what they have been the last few years, they are a shell of that this year, even with most of the same pieces minus Gronk. It's almost painful to watch Buccaneers games, because they're going to have 3 points going into the fourth quarter and they're still going to come out. They're still going to somehow win. And it's not because of Mike Evans. I think I saw that he hasn't scored a touchdown since week 3 or something like that. I don't have that in front of me, but I think I heard that. So yeah, give me Mike Evans for my wide receiver bust this year.
Me voting for a guy who got hurt, but I had Deebo Samuel. I think especially after last year, we expected some really big things out of him. And even when healthy, he put up a couple big games, but he just kind of was kind of a snorer this season. So I voted for Deebo. Can you go over the other guys other than the guy who won that got voted for? I know Deontay Johnson was in there. That's a good vote.
Let's see. The one that won looks like that would be the one with 2 votes, and everybody else was different, right?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, Deontay Johnson. I think I saw that he has no touchdowns this year. He set a record for the most targets with no touchdowns in one season. I think I saw that today.
Yeah, and his drops came back, man.
Yeah. This one kind of throws me off a little bit. But if I look at it from a playoff perspective, 100%, Devontae Adams, he gave you some huge weeks during the season, but has laid an egg in the playoffs. So if you're like the guy in my league who was number two all season long, had Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams, bounced out of the semifinal last week because those two have disappeared from that offense. And I don't think it was Derek Carr's fault. I think it's coaching. I hate Josh McDaniel. I've never liked him, and he's confirming that with how he's doing with the Raiders this year. I see Darnell Mooney gets a vote. I wouldn't put him on there just because I wouldn't have had any major expectations for him myself. But for anybody that thought, you know, some new scenery, some, you know, maybe a better offense this year, you had higher expectations, sure. Cortland Sutton, I think that goes back to you've got Russell Wilson in that offense, just dysfunctional as all can be. And then Rashad Bateman, that one was kind of out of left field.
Maybe that's a
he burned personal, me kind of thing.
Personal bias here. Yeah. And our guy who received two votes, Allen Robinson, I talked about him earlier, that's my New Year's resolution, to stay away from him.
I just go back to Thursday Night Football, first game of the season, and we got a preview of what was to come this year when he had, I think, one target all game.
Well, if you think about it, when Brandon Cooks was there as well, he was kind of and Sammy Watkins were kind of, you're going to be great. People are going to double cover you and open up the field for the rest of the players. I want to ask, because you did allude to this with a comment about getting bounced in the semifinal. We did have a proposal, you know, in my big dynasty league, we do our end of the year rule changes votes, you know, for the next year. One of the ones that was proposed is that when you get to the semifinals, it just becomes a free for all.
The top two scorers
go to the championship.
Yeah. I am in my leagues, I am all for trying to make things equitable, because I hate when I see a guy win 75-70 while another guy is losing 150-145. Like, you can't tell me that 75 had a better week than 145. Right. I also like during the regular season when teams do the, you know, you have two games per week, top half, bottom half, and head-to-head, things like that. I know in my league, in one of them, we implemented a wild card a couple years ago. If you're within two games of that last seed, it's based on total points.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, you might have had some unlucky losses along the way, but you're not screwed. You know, you still have that chance. But yeah, semifinals, I'm thinking about implementing that next year, not because it impacted me. It would not have changed anything for me this year in either league, but I like seeing the best teams get there. You know, however that may be.
In one of my leagues, it's a dynasty that's no longer running. It is Jordan, I like that idea. Seven playoff teams, number one seed gets the bye. The seventh seed goes to the team with the most points that's remaining. I did implement that one in one of my leagues at one point, that if the top scoring team does not make the playoffs, they get in that league. I actually won 6 of 7 titles the one year I did not win. I didn't make the playoffs and was the top scoring team in the league. So, Jordan, maybe you're onto something, but the 9-1 vote against you, that doesn't help. Next topic I have here, our second closest is tight end bust. Nick, you voted for Darren Waller. Is this a Josh McDaniels thing?
I hate blaming injuries for guys. He's just been so banged up this year. I don't even know if he started more than like 7 games. I haven't watched enough. Last year I had Waller in the league. I did not have him in any this year.
Hurts is officially inactive, by the way.
Hurts is? Okay.
Officially inactive.
Well, that hurts. So I did not have Waller this year. I haven't paid super close attention to him. I just know that he was projected to be, you know, top 3-4 tight end again this year. Now, I did know with Devontae coming in, that's probably going to take away some of the action for Waller, but they certainly have not been able to feed him, even when he has been healthy. Yeah. I think last week he got a touchdown in 25 yards, and if you're a Waller owner, you were jumping for joy in your 10th place consolation game, the way that went this year. So, yeah, pretty much if you weren't Travis Kelce, you were a bust.
Yeah, and somebody actually did mention that in the voting. Who did that person vote for that said anybody but Kelce? Did they have a person in there?
All of them that isn't Kelce or Hockenson. So we'll say Hockenson for him.
Okay.
Or no, sorry. Sorry.
He didn't have a vote.
Yeah. No, he didn't have a vote. Yeah.
All right. So
but he says Hockenson was number two.
I again voted for somebody who ended up getting hurt. Kyle Pitts. And Scott Fishbowl, tight end premium. I took Pitts in the second round. It's also a third round reversal. So I knew I wasn't going to get a pick for a while. Really wanted to get a top tight end there. I failed big time. Not really necessarily my fault. Not really necessarily his fault. But Kyle Pitts was my guy. Another guy who was drafted high and high expectations. Wasn't going to score a touchdown, but might get 10 catches for 150 yards. But Kyle Pitts didn't end up winning. Should I send him an award? Do you think he'd appreciate if I sent him an award for the highest bust for fantasy's sake, QC? He got 5 votes, Waller second with 4. And then the other person who didn't vote for one didn't vote for Pitts or Waller, but 5-4, Kyle Pitts.
No, and one had Andrews. We did have one Mark Andrews in there.
Oh, we did have Mark Andrews in there. That is correct.
So actually, did that make it a tie?
It might have made it a tie.
Well, because one of them says Waller/Pitts. I don't know how he.
I gave each of them one.
Then. Oh, okay. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So it's 4-3, 4.5-3.5, whatever.
Yeah. There you go.
To keep on the train of busts, we'll go to our LVP. You already talked about Kamara, why you didn't like him. We've already talked about Jonathan Taylor, why we don't like him. So our LVP of the year, maybe we'll send this guy a trophy. Maybe we'll send Jonathan Taylor a trophy, who was voted LVP with 4 votes. I think he'd really appreciate knowing what some chums from the Midwest think about him. He had 4 votes. Chase Edmonds, I think this is a personal bias for 2 people.
Yeah.
Nicole, who is the other person? I guess it's Dartchick. Huh?
Dartchick. Yeah.
The queen bee of all, Bonnie Robinson. She also hates Chase Edmonds. So the next category is pretty interesting here. Just not who won, but how the votes went. So top quarterback, you voted for Patrick Mahomes. I voted for Jalen Hurts. Tell me why you voted for.
If he wasn't injured, I put Jalen Hurts number one here.
Okay, that's fair.
But for fantasy, if you are not playing in the semifinal or championship round, I just find it hard to give you this award. Although, as I say that, when we get to our MVP category, I kind of can contradict myself. But I think I was just trying to cover all my bases here. So in this category, I take that into account. In the other category, I don't. That's how we do it.
It's kind of like the MVP versus player of the year.
Yeah. Yeah. So for Mahomes as top quarterback, and yeah, and I think the value, I put value more into play for my MVP. But for top quarterback, I go Mahomes just because he's playing here in a semifinal and championship weekend where Hurts, you just said he's inactive, so he was not active for championship weekend or semifinal weekend. Had a big week in the quarterfinal round when I had a bye. I didn't need him, so that didn't help me. Wish right. I could have banked those points. But yeah, for this, I'm taking Mahomes just because he's the top scoring quarterback this year, and that's easy to say.
That is a rule change that I would love to see implemented. I always forget it when we send out our rule changes. I think that if you receive a first round bye, Jordan's free for all makes sense. If you receive a first round bye, you should be able to choose which week's points you want to use for the semifinals. So if you don't play in week 16 or what, week 15, your team has a bye, set your lineup, whichever points is higher, you can take that for your semifinal matchup.
Never thought of that. I could maybe see it. The downside to that would be, you know, we look at last week, weather was such an impact.
Yeah.
This week, not so much. The week before, not so much. When you've got just the entire country dealing with weather one week, I can see where that's not, you know, necessarily the fairest thing. But you're the top seed, and I think you deserve to get a few, you know, nudges to make up for the hard work you did during the season.
So maybe I was leaning more – this is the one subject where I went the guy that is hurt. I think I was leaning more the value. I think I had Hurts in the eighth round in one league. Obviously, Mahomes was going in top three or four depending – you know, everybody has that one person in their league that goes quarterback. I did it in the staff league with Josh Allen. Just fell a little further than I wanted him to fall, so I had to take him. So what happens, you get a bunch of smart people in the same league. Somebody's going to fall and somebody's going to jump on it, but I'm playing for the championship this week, so screw the rest of you guys. I went Hurts, had him in a couple of leagues. Like I said, took him in the eighth in one league. So he was definitely my top quarterback. He won this category. We're going to send him a trophy with Jonathan Taylor too. Jalen Hurts, top quarterback, 6-3. Top running back. You voted Saquon.
I did, and now that I see it.
Nope, can't take it back.
I know. I'm just, now that I see it, I don't necessarily see why I did. I just think he was a value guy this year. Everybody else, for the most part, outside of, you know, the usual Ecklers and McCaffreys, like, they're getting drafted at the top.
Right.
Barkley's been a top draft pick every year. This year, injuries, that offense, he fell quite a bit. Some people might have gotten him late second round.
I got him with the two at 210.
So if you can get a stud top five running back outside the top 15 or 20, value can come into play there. Again, I didn't take that, you know, I didn't take that into account for quarterbacking just because of when he was injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But for Barkley, you know, he's maybe been a little more inconsistent here since the midpoint of the season, but he came out of the gate just shooting.
Yeah.
Just like a rock star. So Barkley, based on value and maybe preseason expectations, I took him as top running back.
I voted for McCaffrey. I had him in a few leagues, was big on him. I guess this might be a personal bias thing. McCaffrey was awesome.
No matter the team he played for.
Yeah, awesome in Carolina, awesome again in San Francisco. Comes to San Francisco, first game he plays, three touchdowns. One by land,
three different ways.
You know, one by air. So I voted for CMC. I think that we both agree that the panelists got this one right. Austin Ekeler, awesome once again. Wasn't really a top three or four pick. I think you could have gone Barkley as well with your argument there. But Ekeler really hasn't had that down week. I feel like he's scored a touchdown every week. He's going to catch passes. PPR stud. At some point, the glass slipper is going to fall off. Wasn't this year.
Yeah. It's not next year either because he's in a contract year.
Correct. Not next year either because he's in. I thought that was a really interesting little tidbit, just how amazing, you know, those five guys have been. Obviously, there's other guys who are in contract years who haven't been amazing, but be interested to see.
Yeah, I was going to add to that, too. Ekeler has done it without really running the ball all that
much.
When you look at it, his rushing stats are actually pretty down this year, I believe. Still getting his touchdowns and all his catches, so that's obviously helping him. You know, if you're in a non-PPR league, he's maybe not quite as great because you're not getting all those fourth quarter dump-offs when you're down by a touchdown to get you into field goal, you know, get you into scoring range and things like that. I want to just give a shout-out to the two guys that didn't really get talked about. Josh Jacobs, what a stud this year.
He is still RB3.
Yeah.
In non-PPR.
And I think there was value with him, too. He was not drafted top 10. And the other guy, Tony Pollard, he's probably the one that's been, like, the most out of left field. Not even the starting running back on his own team, and he has had a lights-out year. And those weeks where Zeke was out, Pollard was just...
Pollard got votes, didn't he?
He got one.
You got one.
So I just wanted to give him a shout out for being on the list. And I think he made me some money on a couple bets this year.
All right. So the last one that's fantasy relevant, we handed out an MVP trophy. You voted for Jalen Hurts. You alluded to this before. Kind of the value, is that where you went there?
Yeah, and for this one, he got me to the playoffs, has not been a help in the playoffs, but where I got him, you know, he was not a top five or six quarterback off the board. You get him in a later round, I think it was in the 60s or 70s, I can't remember exactly, but just an absolute stud. I mean, most weeks, 30 points was not out of the possibility. So I gave Jalen my MVP this year, even though I didn't give him my best quarterback.
For me, I went Travis Kelce. Just being so far and above the best player at your position, a lot of people, no matter what their roster looked like, are in championship games because they drafted Travis Kelce. When you are so – I mean, that goes back to, like, the Tom Brady, Peyton Manning days, when a lot of teams were still running the ball, that you had Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, you were still winning leagues because your quarterback was just outscoring the other team's quarterback by so much. And I think that's the scenario where if you have a position where you're outscoring the other team every single week by, you know, this is with Kelce, you're 10, 15, 20, talking 10, 15, 20 points that you're outscoring the other team by right off the bat.
Yeah.
So I went Kelce. Justin Jefferson ends up winning this, which I don't think is wrong either. Jefferson, again, as we talked off the top, been amazing. Been just, you know, for fantasy sake. Haha, there you go. He's been awesome. Watching him play has been fun. You know, looking here, 37 points more than Tyreek. That's a game and a half. It's not quite where Kelce leads over the other tight ends, which is almost 100 points. So we probably should have all voted for Travis Kelce. But Justin Jefferson's not wrong.
Yeah. And I'm looking here. I mean, outside of quarterbacks, he is the highest scoring player this year. Eckler second, Jacobs third. When you look at running backs, receivers, and tight ends, and for anyone that drafted him right around fifth, sixth, seventh, they have had no complaints this year.
I had one league. I'm in, not in the semifinals, or I'm not in the finals this week because I had Hurts, and ended up playing Deshaun Watson last week because he was also on my roster. But I had Hurts, Tyreek, Justin Jefferson, and Travis Kelce. So that one kind of stings not to be in the final there. Oof. So who were our other votes? Jefferson, Kelce, Hurts.
There's an Eckler vote, which I like too because he's right behind Jefferson in scoring. And Eckler was a top three draft pick consensus for the most part. And then, you know, Kelce, I don't think he was probably a second round guy, but I think this is the last year that people can draft him in the second round. I think he goes first round next year. I don't think there's any chance he slips past 10 or 12.
I've talked about this dynasty wise is I think there's kind of like a Julio Jones effect where we're so afraid to not, I don't know how long you've been playing fantasy or dynasty, but there was a big bailout on Julio Jones about 3 years before he started becoming ineffective. And I think that we've kind of been bit by the Julio Jones effect that everybody's afraid to get out too late. So we might see some of that in fantasy drafts.
I see Jordan says he is taking Kelce ahead of every running back not named Eckler or McCaffrey, and I can see it. I would be curious where you would throw Jefferson, or do you throw Tyreek in the mix? Where does Kelce fall in line there? But are we looking at a top five draft pick next year in Travis Kelce? I think that'll be one of the fun things to see in the offseason, how ADPs shift and things like that.
I'm hoping, you know, we're able to get on here at least once a month during the off season. I know I'm not spoiling anything if I drop this little tidbit, am I? About how busy you're going to be this off season here in a couple of weeks.
Likewise.
Yes. Yeah. So
new kiddos on the way for both of us.
Nick and I both have children's on the way. I think there's both one for both of us, but we already have another child existing on the outside right now. So things get a little hectic around here and around there. But
yeah, we're getting down to our second draft pick here.
Huh?
We're getting to our second draft pick.
Yes. Yes. Hopefully they're keepers.
And no 30-day money back guarantee.
Yeah, no 10-day contract either. Nope. So that'll be fun. We'll have a lot of people. We do have a great team here. We are always looking to add people. So if you're interested, send us a message. I think that's how we found Nick. I think Nick filled out something on Facebook, and about a year ago, that's when we brought him on board. So we've loved to have you, Nick. Let's talk NFL MVP. This is a non-fantasy thing. Very, very tight race here for all of us. I won't be the homer, so I'll let you tell everybody why we voted for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm taking Mahomes just because every week there's at least one play where you get mind blown. Like the McKinnon touchdown a couple weeks ago, he's getting driven out of bounds and he just like flips it out. McKinnon takes it to the house for a touchdown. Like most quarterbacks throw that away, or that becomes very, very bad. I think Tua tried to do something similar in the Packer game last week, and it almost got picked off. And actually, that might have been the play that he got hurt on. I can't remember.
I think so, yeah.
Mahomes, like, he's just at another level. And if Hurts did not miss last week, did not miss this week, probably misses next week if they win and they have nothing to play for. I'm not looking close enough. Maybe they still need to play to keep the one seed or the Vikings.
If they win today, I think they clinched the one seed, but I'm not sure. Jordan would know that better than me.
Yeah, I would have taken Hurts just because of the dual threat that he has given that offense. And usually when you're a dual threat guy, the passing is not great, but it's serviceable enough. Dude played lights out throwing the football this year. And I think that tells you just how big of an impact AJ Brown had on that offense, and Hurts getting another year of experience under his belt.
What are you talking about dual threat? Patrick Mahomes has 3 rushing touchdowns. Okay.
Every single one of them is just a fantastic highlight play.
Yeah. Last week where he holds himself up in the air long enough to touch a pylon. Anyway, I'm drooling.
Yeah. I give it to Mahomes because Hurts was out. Otherwise I like Hurts. If he plays all the way at the level he was.
I did see a stat a couple weeks ago. I was voting Mahomes anyway. That this was pre Hurts injury, that Mahomes had more passing yards than Hurts had total yards. And Mahomes had the same amount of passing touchdowns as Hurts did total touchdowns. So it's awesome to have an argument. I think Hurts might even still win it. So I think that there's a chance, but I'm okay with that because an NFL MVP hasn't won the Super Bowl in a bajillion years. So,
and the other thing too that I'll mention with Mahomes, Mahomes is a classic, like, you know, he's so good. And sometimes people look at the MVP and it's like a guy taking it to another level. But when Mahomes is so good, so consistently, it's hard to take him to the next level. And so he kind of gets lost in the shuffle a little bit. Like, he could have been MVP the last 4 years in a row if there wasn't just one guy that maybe, like, the last 2 years, Rodgers gets the nod just a little bit. Like, if there's an award for finishing second in MVP every year, it has to be Mahomes consistently at this point. I mean, when he's not been MVP, I think he has one, right? Just one?
One, yep.
Before the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. He's probably been the number two guy each year, and he doesn't get that trophy on the mantle. But, yeah, I would have no problem with him getting it this year.
Of Albert Pujols on my shirt. He had to play the same time as Barry Bonds, so he understands that as well. So I can't argue. Who's the one guy who got one singular vote? Because I have 9 votes here.
We got Justin Jefferson got a couple.
Yep, he got 2.
And Joe Burrow. Gets 1 vote. And I guess I can understand why, just because he's had a great year. I think
they win tomorrow night.
Yeah, he's that's true. Yeah, if they take the one seed, I think Burrow Which it's, you know, a lot has to happen for the Bengals to get the one seed.
If they win, taking down the Bills and the Chiefs in the same season, that's impressive.
Yeah. I could see him jumping into the mix. I would have him probably third, right? Well, I don't know. I think I would have Justin Jefferson ahead of him, and then I would have Mahomes and Hurts. Josh Allen's really fallen off with all of the turnovers. He's probably number five. And speaking of guys that have fallen off, you know, I remember those MVP chants about 6 weeks ago.
Also speaking of falling off, Shane in the chat box. Not great today, Shane. All right, so Mahomes wins our NFL MVP. Four votes for Mahomes, three for Hurts, two for Jefferson. I think you could make an argument, obviously, for all three of them. Anything you want to add? I got a long list of thank yous to shout out here. We will talk about anytime touchdowns after I ask Nick if he's got anything to add.
I think one of the what can make or break a season is who you pick up as a free agent or off the waiver wire. Do you have any success stories this year? Because I know for me,
Geno.
Yeah, Geno was one that I picked up in our staff.
Cousins.
Justin Fields had been dropped once or twice before I picked him up, and I would not be in the playoffs if I did not have Justin Fields, because those couple weeks I had gangbuster scores when he put up like 40 plus, kept me just enough in it winning those weeks and giving me more points that I needed. Did not help me in the playoffs last week, so that's part of the reason I got bounced, but my team was kind of falling there with Alvin Kamara and Tom Brady leading the charge. And he gave me a spike, a nice spike right in the middle of the season that my team needed. So I give a little nod to Justin Fields.
We'll give him a little shout out, the waiver wire desire guy, him and Gino for me. All right. Anytime touchdown guy, who's going to score today?
Let's go with Amon-Ra.
Damn, that was one of my guys. Brian Robinson, Amon-Ra, Travis Kelce. Those are my three guys. If I was
parlay, I have a parlay right now. Here's my touchdown parlay for the day: Amon-Ra, Justin Jefferson, and let me take a look. I got it right here. Najee tonight.
All right. So I got a long list of thank yous here. First of all, we want to thank our main sponsor, Clinch Draft House Corner Tap, and their owner, BK Kluger. We want to thank Kavanaugh's Hilltop and Tim Kavanaugh. Route 96 Boutique, who donated money to us for our Toys for Tots drive. That was much appreciated. The Brick and Mortar Boutique, always big fans of our show. Our Toys for Tots celebrities, which are Cody Sudlock, Matt Brill, Nathan Sheets, Jay Kidwell, Joey Danya, Corey Cuffler, and Dustin Nolan. I also want to wish everybody who's in a championship in one of those leagues very, very good luck. Oddly, it fell in that all six leagues, the celebrity is in the championship. So that was pretty fun. I also want to thank the 50 plus non-celebrity participants in our Toys for Tots, especially Jordan Rangel, who was willing to fill a spot in all those leagues to make them even. That was awesome of him. Our weekly panel, Mr. Brinks, Mr. Nick Brinks, Chris Steele, Brian Craighead, and Joe Winkle. Our podcast hosts, which include Joe, Nick Bull, Chris Zach, Dennis Michelson, John Bush. Our guests who came on the show this year, Chris Robin, Nick Gural, Michael Sicoli. Our print writers, Bobby Adcock, Aaron Herman, and Tim Corwin. The master behind all of our sounds, Doug Green. He brings you your favorite For Fantasy Sake QC podcasts each week on your favorite podcast platforms. I want to thank our top fans, Bo Elam, Jordan Rangel, Gunnar Haskins, and Shane Newbanks. We want to thank everyone who watched, listened, or interacted this year. That's a big deal. Every time you tune in the show, comment, share, whatever, it gets seen by multiple different eyes. We also want to thank our spouses. Gave up 2 hours every Sunday morning to let us do our show, and countless hours of watching football all season. That's a big deal. Takes a lot from our families to give us up. So we appreciate that. Just make sure to check out the For Frequency Sake podcast network. Even during the off season, Joe will be dialing up the Educated Ignorance podcast. Nick and CZ will be firing up Card Subject to Change, our wrestling podcast, each week. And we have even more coming to you wherever you get your podcasts. So make sure you check that out. I know that Brian's planning on firing some stuff up from the off season for the off season. Hopefully we can get a basketball podcast here fired up. So a lot of stuff coming in this new year. Today is actually the birthday of the Four Frequency Sake Podcast Network. When we shifted over from For Fantasy Sake, completely doing just this show to making it the podcast network. So Jordan's got food ready. I am on my way to watch football with Jordan today. So I'm excited for that. Nick, if you want to drive 3 hours, all the games will probably be over, but you're more than welcome. Nick, you got anything you'd like to add?
No, I don't think so. I guess thanking spouses, my wife and their whole family are Packer fans. So Christmas got a little rough, but it was okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
thanks for having me. It's been a fun year.
Yeah, no, we really enjoyed it, Nick. You know, we didn't know where our relationship was going to go here a year ago when you came on. I think we interviewed you Martin Luther King Day last year.
So, that sounds about right.
So my wife was in Arkansas. I got a PS5 that day. So very memorable day for me.
There you go.
All right. Well, you know, for Nick, we will be back at some point. If you have any questions for the rest of this, this week or any DFS questions next week, feel free to shoot them our way. But, you know, for the whole For Fantasy Sake crew, we will see you next season.